everyone, and welcome back to the Empower Your Life Summit. I'm Sue Erta, your host for this event, and as I've said all along, I am so grateful to each of these women who are our co-authors in this book, Empower Your Life, for sharing themselves in their story in the book and also on this summit. This summit has been so filled with so much great information and such great energy, and all of these women are a resource for you. So I really hope you'll continue to listen and that you tap into the resource that these women are after the summit and after you've read the book, because you are just in for a wonderful ride with them. You'll love it. They are so inspiring and empowering in so many ways. And I'm really grateful today to be talking with our author, Susie Kincaid. She's an incredible woman. You'll hear more about her life and her story now. I'm going to read a brief introduction of her, and then we'll get started speaking with her. Susie Kincaid founded Women's Empowerment Workshop in 2009 to empower girls and women of all ages and ability with courage, confidence, and self-awareness. In her unique nature-connected coaching programs, nature is both the metaphor and the medium to help her clients discover their personal power. As an aspiring Olympic athlete, Susie was the first woman to compete on a men's varsity collegiate athletic team, diving for UCLA in 1972 to 74. As an avid outdoor adventurer who innately understands the power of our connection to the natural world, Susie is a personal coach in Vail, Colorado, a trained ceremonialist, Awakening the Dreamer facilitator with the Pachamama Alliance, and a TEDx Vail Women's Speaker. And Susie, I am so happy to talk with you today. How are you?
I'm great. It's a beautiful day here in Colorado, and I'm really happy to be talking with you too, Sue. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, you're so welcome. And, you know, I really like your title that you chose today because it has three of my favorite words in it, the ultimate way to resource, revitalize, and renew. And I really like that because it's so important to kind of re-up ourselves. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say about that. To get started, Susie, I'd love if you would tell us about your personal journey and how it led you to where you are today.
Okay, great. I actually feel like I've had two lives. The first part of my life was the asleep life, and then after the Great Awakening, which was about in my 40s, was my second life and my more authentic life. But when I reflect on that, I see that everything that happened in my earlier life, growing up and starting my career and my family and all of that, led to me perfectly and divinely to the place where I could have an awakening and change my direction. I grew up in a military family, and so we moved around a lot, but never lived on a base. My parents were very creative and found beautiful places for four rambunctious kids to be outdoors all the time. My mom was no dummy. That was the best place to send us, I'm sure. And so we grew up in magical places, outdoor nature, skiing and boating and swimming and diving and hiking and camping. And there was always something to do in nature. It was a place to do, not necessarily to be. And it was very competitive. We were a very competitive family. We were all athletes, and we competed. At one point, all four of us were competitive divers. And so that was sort of my approach to the natural world and to being outside. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s that I realized that through this experience of change that I'll tell you about, that I realized that nature was actually a pathway to my soul and really a way to connect with the essence of being. So I was rolling along in life, and I was an athlete and a mother and a marketing executive, two beautiful kids and a great ranch in Colorado, and cruising along, and the universe decided to shift my perspective, let's say it that way. Sometimes I call it the 2x4 up the side of the head. That's what it felt like when we were invited to go on the Grand Canyon, my husband and I. And this was with a private group of friends, and we went on the Grand Canyon, and I thought, this is going to be a great time. We'll have 3 weeks to find our way back to each other, as many busy young families do. We hadn't really spent a lot of time with each other and had drifted apart. So I was excited about that, and he was going to row the boat, and I was going to ride along, and we were going to have long talks. This was my fantasy anyway, long talks and pull our marriage and our life back into wholeness. And it really blew up. The whole thing did. And this is what I write about in the book, so I'm not going to tell the whole story here, but I ended up on the Grand Canyon alone in my boat, figuring out how to row some of the biggest whitewater in the world. And I was terrified. And I'm not a person who gets scared too very easily. So this, I realized, was a huge thing. Even as it was happening, I was thinking, this is going to change my life. And indeed it did. I leaned into it. I got a fellow who was along on our trip, one of our friends who had a broken thumb, but he happened to be a Grand Canyon guide, and he said, I'll coach you down the rapids. And I was so grateful to have that support, someone who could, you know, help me learn to read the water and know where to go, where not to go, what's going to flip my boat, what's not. And it was fascinating as I, as I said, leaned into it and began to really rediscover my power and my confidence. And I didn't realize it had been gone until I felt myself so small and terrified and wanting to run away and not wanting to do this big thing, this big challenge that was in front of me. So with the help of my coach, I, of course, made it down there. But along the way, you know, in those 3 weeks, I learned what it meant to be truly connected to the natural world. In the Grand Canyon, you are looking at stratas of time, and there's no strata small enough to equate to the time that human beings have been on the planet. And that perspective really shifted me. And I thought, my gosh, I don't even, my species doesn't really even exist in this place. And therefore, I'm only here for just this fraction of a second. And what indeed is my purpose? What am I supposed to be here doing? Why am I here? And I had a lot of time to think about that alone in my boat. And it really shifted my life. It was my wake-up call. It was my springboard also into my full potential. And so when I got back to my life and eventually did get divorced, I began that walk into my full potential. It was very tentative at first, and then I just entered it with fierce passion. And first I went back to some of my Native American teachings that I had begun when I was in college, and I worked with Native Americans and came to understand the concept of Metaquiasin. All is related. All my relations. It's a Lakota word. And I realized that that's something I innately knew and felt, but that had been somehow trained out of me in our culture. And then I did a remarkable 3-year spiritual training in the divine feminine. I really wanted to know how a strong person like me had let my power ebb away. And the process of that, those 3 years, was really empowering and deeply balancing of the masculine and feminine within us. And we went through a process of first remembering who we are, our deep divine feminine power and spirit and grace. And then the healing of the feminine wounds, which all women carry. And we almost carry it in our genetics, actually. And then transforming into our true, best, highest self. It was a phenomenal program. I learned many, many, many tools and practices and deep wisdom from beautiful, wise women. And I use all of that today in my retreats and coaching. And it was exciting. And then, like any spiritual program, I took vows at the end of it. And my vows that I took were to serve the earth and women and girls. And then I sat there thinking, now how am I going to complete those vows? So I went back to school and I got my Nature Connected Coaching International Certification and loved that. And that's when I started in Women's Empowerment Workshop, leading women and girls out into nature to either on the water or climbing rocks or hiking or simply just being with the natural world and helping them find their wisdom and strength and courage and confidence and helping them discover their own treasures that lie within, just as I discovered mine on the Grand Canyon. So the Grand Canyon really scared me, and I had to do something that was very, very challenging for me. And what I discovered was that I had everything I needed within me. But it wasn't until I had resourced my personal power that I realized how much I had lost. And that's when I set about to helping others find theirs.
I love that. You know, that's a very powerful story, Susie. And I love that you say, you know, a lot of those words in there you talked about, oh, it's a wake-up call. You were allowed to, or you were awakened to walk into your potential and to find out, you know, why did you give your power away and all that. And then you made that huge vow at the end that really is what became your life path there. And you used nature, which you've loved your whole life, to as the means for that. And I love that. I mean, you're so, you know, listening to you, it feels like you're so aligned with what you're here to do. And I love that because I know that our listeners like that too, because that's what they want in their life. Everybody wants to do what they're here to do. And I love that you're doing that. You know, it's great. And, you know,
thank you. It is, and it takes a leap of faith sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes if we don't leap, the universe offers us the leap.
Yes. And you say offers, it actually pushes us off, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
Leap. Yeah, sometimes. So that's great. So you've learned a lot in all of your years of teaching and studying and all of that. What would you say, Susie, is the number one principle that's had a dramatic impact on your life, and how can other people use it to perhaps achieve the same results you have in your life?
I'd have to say, Sue, that the principle that we are nature and nature is us is my guiding principle. Because that pretty much opens it up to unlimited possibilities for human beings. If you look around in the natural world at what exists here and knowing that we are part of that and we're connected to all of that, we can pretty much do whatever we want. And so the realization that nature is the ultimate medium for resourcing ourselves and discovering ourselves and bringing ourselves forth in that rejuvenation as well. One of the things that about this connection is that our brain actually changes when we're in nature. Our physical body changes. And this is really powerful once you understand the science behind it. We've all experienced it, but now we can measure that phenomenon. So, for instance, just a little piece of it is negative ions. Negative ions are part of how sunlight breaks apart oxygen, and we have negative ions in the air, so we're breathing negative ions, especially around moving water. And so waterfalls, the ocean, right? Everybody likes to go to the ocean and just sit and look at the waves and stand and be in them. And mountains are the same way. They have a lot of negative ions floating around in the air. So when we breathe that in, a biochemical reaction happens in our bloodstream that increases the feel-good hormone serotonin. And serotonin relieves depression and stress. It's a depression fighter. And I love the fact that we simply have to breathe to fight depression. You know, nature is our go-to
yes.
place and source. And so people might call it a conspiracy, and if they did, it's a nature conspiracy, and I love that word conspiracy because it means together, breathing, inspire together. So, yes, let's breathe that in and conspire with nature for our perfect health. I mean, I could go on. I love the science behind the healing power of nature.
Me too, and I love that too. And me, I'm an ocean girl. I moved down to Florida so I can be right by the water here, and I love it. It's just something that, you know, I want it year-round. I want it all the time because I love breathing it in. I have friends who love the lakes and the mountains, and they just have to be there. And they, you know, as we get older, it's like, look, like I can live anywhere I want to, so let's just do that, you know. I am concerned, and you probably are too, about kids today who spend so much time indoors and in front of screens and all this kind of stuff. And what would you say, you know, to parents who are having this struggle with their kids? How do you get them out into nature and get them interested in stuff like that?
Well, can I tell you a story about that?
Sure.
So the one day up here on the ranch, a little 7-year-old boy came with his dad to buy a car from my husband. So while the dads were doing the car thing, I asked if I could take Jason down to the creek where there were some cool animal footprints. And he was a little tentative. He comes from a big city, but he said he'd go. And Dad said it was okay. So off we went. And we're chatting along. We get to a three-rail fence, and I just climb through the top and between the top and the middle rail. And I realized, oh, Jason's not behind me anymore. And I look back, and he's on the other side of the fence. And I said, Jason, come on. And he said, I can't. I said, oh, your dad said it was okay. You can come with me. And he said, no, I can't. And I said, oh, well, did you see me go through? Do you want to go the way I went or up and over? And he said, I can't. So I went back, and I put his little hands on the rail and pulled his leg through, and off we went down through the pasture. And I said, so, Jason, what do you do down in Denver? And he said, oh, I play video games. I said, really? Do you go outside? Oh, I do not go outside. I play video games, and I'm really good at them. Huh. And right then, I realized that this was a perfect example from a book I had just finished reading by Richard Louv called Last Child in the Woods. And Louv calls it nature deficit disorder, and it's actually change in brain development that our kids are experiencing today because they don't spend time outside. And the three parts of that, the things that don't happen in our brain when we don't spend time outside, are the ability to solve three-dimensional problems. Think about Jason going over the fence. What had happened to him is he did not have the neural pathways between his left and right hemisphere of his brain to solve a simple problem like climbing a fence. The second thing that we either lose or don't develop is our sense of mapping, our spatial knowing where we are. How do I get home if I go wander off in the woods? Will I be lost? And you can imagine the kind of fear that that can create in our bodies and ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever tried to give verbal directions to anybody who grew up with a map app, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. No, if I can't find it on my app, I can't find it. And the third thing we lose is our sense of wonder and our connection to something greater than ourselves. And that is our connection to source, really, when you think about it. And this is a huge problem for parents and children, and for the consequences that can arise as you can project this into the future are, if we aren't connected to the natural world, we're not going to want to steward it. We're not going to want to take care of it. And indeed, this living being that is Earth is our only spaceship. So it starts off, you know, with a little anecdote like Jason not being able to go over the fence, but you can see that the ramifications of something of a continued evolution like this could be very detrimental to us as living sentient beings on this Earth. So,
absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, I know that technology serves a purpose. But I also believe that we have perfect technology here on the Earth. I mean, actually trees talk to each other through the fungi living in the soil. And they share nutrients as nutrients are needed. They'll put out a call, get what they need. Carbon moves through the fungi and up into the roots. And even a tree that is dying will send its nutrients out to the others because it can't use them anymore. It's astonishing.
Yeah,
I mean, that's community, right? In a different way.
Yeah, so amazing, intelligent community. It's really incredible. And just knowing those things, like you're saying this, and you know, some of that stuff, what you just said, I forgot about. You know, I learned that actually when I was in school about things like that, about the trees and how they, you know, it's a cooperative universe out there, a cooperative
mm-hmm.
community,
mm-hmm.
and it makes perfect sense. And that's the type of community that we should model our own communities after. I love that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Susie, I got to say, you are so passionate about nature. You know, why such passion? Where did this come from?
Well, you know, I don't want to see any more seven-year-old boys or girls who can't climb a fence. And I believe that we heal ourselves. And when we heal ourselves, we heal every part of the web because it's all connected, right? In the realm of personal development, it's nature connection is so key, and it's why I love working with people in nature, because it's not separate from us. We are earth, air, water, fire, bones, breath, blood, energy. We're not separate from the web of life. we're part of it, right? And we share DNA with every living thing on the planet. So it's therefore we're part of fairly limited, unlimited possibilities. And when people actually embody that connection in a deep and personal way, perspective shifts, just as mine did deep in the Grand Canyon. You know, we realize that we have the power to, that we're part of something really quite amazing, and that brings an awareness that because we're part of that, we're worthy. We matter. Our purpose matters. And that we have an additive value to the world. So from that perspective, that opens the gateway to personal growth. Oh, I matter. What I do matters as well. So what am I going to do? You know, it shifts everything. And I think that's why it's so meaningful to me. And if you think we have time, I'd love to just take people through a little bit of this embodied experience. It'll only take about a minute or two.
Sure. That's great. Let's do that.
Okay. Because I want to offer people a way to begin to access this. You know, that when the scientific studies say it takes 3 days to fully drop in and be on the wavelength of nature, which, by the way, nature has its own wavelength. It's 7.84 hertz. And our brain loves to entrain with that. And guess what? That wavelength is right in the middle of the alpha wavelength, which is where we go when we're in meditation. So
love
when
it.
Our brain entrains with the earth simply by being with and being in, we get a little nature meditation just by even just sitting there. In Japan, they call that forest bathing, Shinrin Riku. And they actually compel executives in that very stressful business society to go out and sit in the woods. They have whole parks dedicated to this practice of forest bathing. So once we embody that, we can recall it on a cellular level. So I'd love everyone to just take a moment now and feel your feet on the ground and take a big, deep breath. Close your eyes and imagine yourself in one of your favorite places in nature. Notice what it feels like on your skin. Is it sunny and warm or cool and breezy? What does it smell like there? What do you hear all around you? And what do you see? What are the shapes, colors, movement? Take it all in with all of your senses. And now check in with your body and notice what you notice. How does it feel? And check in with your emotions. What are you feeling emotionally? And then coming back and feeling your feet on the ground, rejoin this conversation. What did you feel, Sue?
I felt at peace. I felt this amazing sense of peace.
Mm-hmm. And that's what probably many listeners also felt, was this sense of relaxation, peace, serenity, joy, connection. Those are the kinds of words that usually come up. And what you just did was you just infused your body with beautiful dopamine, serotonin, happy hormones, maybe some oxytocin in there, because you've embodied this experience before and you can recall it and bring it in. And we did that in 1 minute. So that's a tool that I believe everyone here with in our talk today is a way to access that and revitalize and renew, resource from the original source, which is this beautiful living body of Earth.
I love it. That's such a wonderful tool because it's so easy too, Susie. Like, I'm all about ease. And so I love that I can do that anywhere. Nobody even has to know that I'm doing it. They don't, you know, whatever they want to think is fine, but they don't even have to know I'm doing it. I can do it for me from wherever I am. And that's beautiful because everybody, like you said, everybody goes to their own place. So I like that a lot. That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sal.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, this is great. I'm really excited to have our listeners, you know, reach out to you. I'm sure that there are some of them that would like to know more about you and what you're doing and perhaps be in touch with you. Can you please let us know how they can do that?
Sure. You can visit me on my website, womenempower.us. So it reads Women Empower Us. That's empower with an E. And feel free to drop me a line there. And I'm happy to talk about some resources that you can use with your children and for yourself. And this is my passion, so I love talking about it. I do have an offering on the website. If you liked that little meditation, there is a free guided meditation about the healing power of nature on the website. And I'd love for you to sign up and get that. It's a sensory expansion meditation that also, when we expand our senses, remember we have our intuitive sense too, and that sharpens when we expand all the rest of our senses. We rely so heavily on sight and hearing, but we have so much more antenna out there. So download it, have fun with it, make it a personal practice, and let me know what opens up for you.
Awesome. That's been great. Susie, thank you so much for today. This has been a lot of great information. Makes me want to just, you know, put down my phone right now and go outside and take a nice walk. So
perfect. Success.
I will. When I'm done later, I will definitely do that because I love that. Thank you so much for that. And thanks for sharing your story in the book, too. You know, I know you kind of gave us a little bit of your story today, but your story is great. I know that our listeners are going to want to read your story and what you went through in that time because you really share that whole feeling place with us. So I love it. So thanks for being a part of this whole project, Susie. It's been a joy.
I've loved every minute of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Listeners, thank you for being a part of this because you, by up-leveling and resourcing and revitalizing yourself, you are becoming more empowered in your own life. And you are also putting that out in the world to all the people that you touch, that you love, that you work with. This is all meaningful to the evolution of people and the planet. So thank you for being a part of this and giving yourself this gift. Be sure to continue to listen to the summit. Be sure to buy this book, Empower Your Life, on launch day, which is March 20th. You'll go to our website. In fact, we're going to send a link to you. You signed up for the summit, so we have your email. We'll send a link to you on launch day so that you can buy this book and not only get this amazing book with all these incredible stories by these 21 co-authors, but you will also be able to come back to our website and get amazing gifts from our authors and our partners just for buying that book. So be sure to do that on March 20th. In the meantime, enjoy your day and, gosh, for goodness sakes, go out and take a walk and breathe some fresh air. Everybody, have a great day. Bye-bye for now.